for inviting me. The more I hear about this group, the more impressed I am. So I'm pleased to be here to talk about an important topic. I've divided my talk into like three different parts. And the first is how I came to NAMI, how I became involved in NAMI, and how we as Christian women and men can help a family who is impacted by mental illness. And then I'll explain some of the programs that NAMI has to offer. Not very many people know, not enough people know about NAMI. And it stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness. So that's the acronym for NAMI. And mental illness, I'll read the description, one of NAMI's folders. What is mental illness? Mental illness is a medical condition that disrupts a person's thinking, feeling, mood, ability to relate to others, and daily functioning. Mental illness often results in a diminished capacity for coping with the ordinary demands of life. Mental illness can affect persons of any age, race, religion, or socioeconomic situations, and affects over 58 million Americans every year. That's a lot of people. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my daughter. And as Anne explained, Jerry and I have five children. Four I gave birth to and one we adopted along the way. And our oldest daughter is the one who's been affected by mental illness. And anything that I speak to you about her, I have permission to talk about her. And she, and as we go through our story, you'll understand. She is actually, she's 56 years old now. I can't believe she's as old as she is. In high school, it all began in high school. And she began to have behavior issues that, like truancy. She missed, like in her one of her classes, she missed 90 of 110 days or 120 days. She just wasn't going, you know, basically to school. She was rebellious. She had depression. And Jerry and I and the rest of our family, because she's the oldest, didn't understand. We had never had any kind of behavioral issues with our other three children. So we sought professional help, which in our particular case wasn't helpful, to be quite honest. And it was a really difficult journey, which continued into her 20s with more depression, more anger issues, pot smoking, erratic behavior. She couldn't hold a job, and what money she had, she spent immediately. And her depression worsened, and she had her first episode of attempted suicide, which occurred. And at that particular time when that happened, she was diagnosed with clinical depression and was placed on medication. So during these years in her 20s, the behaviors continued, and which basically disrupted our entire family. We were all confused. We were all frustrated. We were all angry because of the constant disruptions of her behavior that she had. And as if any of you know anyone who has a loved one with mental illness, it affects the whole family. It's not just an isolated incident. So she was prescribed various medications, which at that time, sometimes she would take and sometimes she wouldn't take. It was just depending on her mood. And it was it took about 10 years for us to finally get a diagnosis of what was wrong with her. Her name is Jana, J-A-N-A, and all our kids' names start with J. So she's our oldest. There were two more suicide attempts, and in addition, manic episodes. For those of you who don't know what happens in a manic episode, they're very heightened, their behavior, their speech. I could always tell that she was in a manic state because she would talk so fast. And then one day I came home and she was very non-violent. There was never any violence associated with her mental illness. And I came home and she had cooked. We had casseroles all over the kitchen, which was good in some sense and not so good in another. Well, we could never possibly eat all the food that she had cooked that day. And after about 10 years, we finally got a diagnosis of bipolar disorder. And finally, because then it had a name, then it had was something we could actually work with. And so her friend, who was a social worker, told her and the family about NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. And at this particular point, after going through all these episodes of her behaviors, we were a wreck. I don't know if you've heard the term. I was a train wreck, to be quite honest. And my husband, Jerry, was just angry. He was so frustrated because she was not able to really get it together, so to speak. But we didn't understand. We really did not understand how serious a situation that she was in. So we decided that, I remember telling my husband Jerry about it, and she wanted us to go. And I said, well, I'm going. Jerry says, well, if you're going, I'm going. And so we went. And at that particular time, we went to a program called Family to Family. And it's a 12-week program. At that time, it was a 12-week program, which basically explained all about mental illness, what mental illness was, what the different types of mental illness was. So we began that particular class, and we gained so much. We got understanding. My husband, who was so angry and frustrated because he had had a sister who was mentally ill, and I believe she had bipolar also, just from what we learned and know now, that we wanted to give back. We wanted to give back to the community, to our church community, to other families who were dealing with the same situation that we had been dealing with. And it became our ministry as a deacon couple, and has been ever since. Wasn't our plan, let me tell you. You know, we didn't know what our plan was, maybe, but we never expected to be our ministry to be one of the mental illness community. But you know, God has a plan, and the Holy Spirit, that's what he wanted for us. So after the initial class of the family to family, we began a support group, and that was 13 years ago. And shortly after that, I became a family-to-family teacher because I wanted to help other mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, anyone who would want to listen. And so we meet twice a month, the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And our family-to-family group is going to be starting again June 19th. But in NAMI, we have a saying that we never give up hope, because some of these situations are so difficult for families, so difficult for their loved ones who live with them or who know them. And through our daughter's experience with NAMI, she has accepted her illness and takes her medication and practices self-care. And a lot of it has to do with acceptance. some family members still struggle, mothers in particular, dads in particular, they struggle with the acceptance that their child has a mental illness. And because that's not what the plan was for that child, particularly the families who have children with schizophrenia. And so Jana, we were very blessed, I will say, to have Jana accept her illness, and she began to participate in the various NAMI programs, such as peer-to-peer, and I'll explain these later, and In Your Own Voice. And she has been a speaker at high schools, various police and sheriff's departments, educating them on what mental illness is. So currently, and we are very proud of her, she is a mental health specialist and serves the unhoused population, helping them engage in the services that our county offers. And we are so proud of her efforts. This is very hard work. She's out on the streets every day, helping the homeless or unhoused population. So she continues to be a gift from God to our family. And she has helped many, many people in her way. And she's beautiful, she's funny, she's smart, and she really loves what she does. It's important work for her. She's done it now for, and she's worked in various places, but the county is her latest job. But I always joke with her, and I tell her that she could sell ice to an Eskimo and make him happy he bought it. That's how charming she is. And people love her. And, you know, she gets them, as the saying goes. She gets them and understands because she is in their place. But her medication that she takes and her self-care, she's very regimented about her self-care. And she never misses her medication. And she is just a light to so many people. So, you know, we had to accept God's plan for her and understand her now in a different way than we would have ever understood her. So now I would like to, that's Jana's story, and she's a great woman in my mind. So now I would like to explain ways in which you can help people. I'm sure sitting in this room, you know people who have a child or a loved one with mental illness. And it's a very difficult diagnosis, to be quite honest. So they say 1 in 5, I didn't really give the statistics, but 1 in 5 people have had some sort of mental illness at one time or another. The thing to understand about mental illness is that mental illness is really a chemical imbalance of the brain. And that's something that obviously we don't see when we see a homeless person or someone acting out. But the reality is that's what mental illness is. The chemicals in the brain are not properly done. And so the meds, when they, you know, we talk so much about them taking medication and how much better they are when they take their medication, that's why medications bring so much relief to them. Many of the families in our support group are lonely families. And why are they lonely? Because people don't know what to do. They don't know how to help them. They don't know what to say to them. So basically, they become ostracized, which is sad because these families need friends. So they, and many, many times, the relatives, I have one lady in my group, and her husband, who has since passed away, had 9 brothers and sisters, and only one brother of those 9 would come to see him. And they just abandoned them. And, you know, many times we don't know what to do or we don't know what to say, and basically, really, just to be their friend. How can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? Invite them for coffee if they can leave their house. Many of us have no idea what goes on behind the front door of those families who live with a loved one with mental illness. A lot of really hard, sad things. And so, you know, they need a friend. They need someone who won't abandon them, someone who will call up and say, how you doing? You know, you don't have to ask for details. You don't have to do anything but just be their friend. And so we had a situation. A lot of times, the one thing, the big don't tell them is don't tell them to kick their loved one out. So many times, and Jerry and I too, you know, if their behaviors are strange or whatever, they'll say, well, just kick them out. Well, as a mother, and you're all, you know, many of you are mothers, I couldn't do that. You love your child more than you love life itself. And so I could not do that. And the only exception to that situation would be if the loved one is inclined to violence. Can't have violence. We can't have violence anywhere. And so there are different, and I'll go into that, there are different things that, you know, can be done to help them. But violence is, that's where the rubber meets the road, as the saying goes. That's where you draw the line, because no one should live in that kind of fear. And that's not helpful to the loved one either, because they don't feel good about having caused violence to other people. So, there, is that better?
Yeah.
Up, down, up, okay. So in you know, in that particular situation, you know, we have a friend who breaks her leg or has cancer. We're running over there with the casseroles, you know, and what can I do and all of that. But people with mental illness and families with dealing with mental illness, that doesn't happen, you know. And many times because people just, you know, don't know what to say. But just be their friend. I'm your friend. What can I do? How can I help you? But, you know, don't abandon them. So, you know, there's no magic formula. In our support group, we have several families, and they have the same diagnosis, and the behaviors are very different, very, very different. And we don't, you can't understand why. They don't understand why, but they are very different individuals. And they love their children. I admire these men and women that come into our support group because, you know, they would do anything for their children. And they haven't lost their enthusiasm or anything. So, the thing for the person with mental illness, if you know anyone, find something to compliment them about. Don't be condescending, you know, don't be, because they see through that. They're very smart. People think, oh, well, people with mental illness are not as intelligent. Well, that's just not true. They're very intelligent. And they can, you know, they understand and see things that many of us don't even see. So, and the thing is, they want to be loved just like anyone else. But, you know, it's hard to love them because they do things and their behaviors are such that they're frustrated, you know, they're frustrating and difficult with their behaviors that for us, you know, we don't always understand, and that makes it difficult for them. So, and some of the people with mental illness don't even know that they have a mental illness. And that's a very interesting phenomenon. There's a term for it, and it's called anosognosia. I'll say that again, anosognosia. And it's a medical condition all on its own. And, you know, they act out and do things, and they completely do not see that they have a mental illness. And that's a really hard struggle for those families, because their behaviors are such that they just don't understand. And the other thing is, don't argue or try to explain things to them or convince them of things. You know, they don't understand logic. You know, they have an idea in their mind, and you're not going to be able to convince them. Just listen to them, and just, you know, just listen. And you don't have to argue. You don't have to, you know, say you're wrong, or, you know, if you did this. I used to try to think of things for my daughter. If I did this and I would do that, then this would all be better. Didn't work. Obviously, it didn't work. She still has bipolar disorder. And so I had to stop that. I had to stop doing that, because it wasn't helping her and it wasn't helping us. So, and don't, this is a, I'm going to tell a story. And the story I have to tell is sounds rather dramatic, and I'm not telling it for the drama aspect of it. But my daughter was very depressed. She was living with us at the time, and she was very depressed. And I came home from work one day, and I could see she was not well. And so I asked her, I said, "Jana, do you feel like killing yourself?" And she said, "No, Mom, I don't." And so I was still nervous, because you could tell that she was not well. So, but you have to accept, you know, that answer. So I went back on the next day. I still remember it was a Tuesday. Came home on Tuesday, and she was not looking any better. And so I said, "Jana, do you feel like killing yourself?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "I was going to do it after you all went to bed." So obviously, and I'm not telling that story for the drama of it all, but I'm telling you that if you encounter someone that you know and someone that you love, do not be afraid to ask that question. Because what would have happened to her had I not? I never wanted to ask that question. And I've had, sadly, I've had to ask that question to a few more people that was not my daughter. But, you know, obviously we got her help, and I stayed with her. You have to stay with that person. And she had a method, and that's something that if that person has a method on how they want to kill themselves, that's the key. If they have a method, you have to get them help. And there's a variety of, you can call, and I'll talk about this a little bit, a centralized assessment team known to the county as the CAT team. And the CAT team would come out and evaluate your loved one. In our particular case, my daughter's very independent, so I gave her, you know, the option. I said, "Well, we have to go to the hospital because, you know, you're ill." And she, I said, "Which hospital do you want to go to?" And so she picked the hospital that we went to, and that gave her a little bit of autonomy and a little bit of control over her whole own life. It's terrifying, I will be honest. It's a terrifying situation. And I'm smiling, but I wasn't smiling then. And I was very tired, and it was like, oh my goodness, here we go again. But I'm telling that again, and I'll say this again, do not be afraid to ask them, you know, about whether they want to kill themselves, and if they have a method, that's the key, that they are really interested in wanting to hurt themselves. So, and don't buy into the stigma of people's mental illness. People who have mental illness are not bad, and they don't have a character flaw. They don't purposely do anything of strange behaviors or whatever. They don't do that to embarrass us. And I know some families who are embarrassed, but they are just simply ill. So, you know, this whole life experience that we have, you know, who am I today? I would not be the same person had I not been through this journey. Mental illness has been humbling, difficult, life-changing experience for our entire family. I have learned compassion, empathy, understanding, kindness, and charity, all of which were kindly provided to me by the Holy Spirit, I must say. There was times when I was not myself. I knew that the Spirit was in me, helping me, guiding me with the appropriate things to say, and for which I am very grateful, to be honest. So I'd like to just go through a few of the programs that NAMI has to offer. They are wonderful programs, and if you want to look up NAMI in Orange County, it's NAMI, NAMIOC.org, and they have such a variety of programs for people who have mental illness and their families. I'm grateful to the family program, and I know many other people that I teach are grateful for the family program. So for people who have mental illness, they have a group called Peer-to-Peer. And I remember Jana went to Peer-to-Peer, and it was funny. She comes home and she goes, well, I guess I do have bipolar. She says, because there was like 8 people in this room, and she said, I could follow every single conversation that was going on. And we had a little chuckle about that, you know. And because, you know, there again, it's that learning to accept what is a part of their life. And so they have support groups. They have peer mentoring programs. So some people with mental illness will mentor another person who has mental illness. And that's quite a good program also, because sometimes people with mental illness don't want to listen to anybody, especially their loved one, because, you know, we all know how, I won't say the word, but, well, I will, how dumb mothers are sometimes. You know, mothers, they just don't know. We're clueless. But we do know, of course. We know. But they won't listen to any of us. And then there is a thing called the Warm Line, and there's a little brochure here, and it says, call the Warm Line today. So the Warm Line is a thing in Orange County that you can call and talk to someone. There'll be people online who will talk to you. If you're struggling, parents, anyone, sisters, brothers, the person who has mental illness, can call, and they're there from Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 a.m., and on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 3 a.m. But if you have a question, you know, if you're not sure whether your loved one has indeed mental illness, you can call the Warm Line, and they will be more than happy to talk to you and give you advice. Well, not advice, but they'll listen anyway. They'll tell you how to handle your situation. Then there is the family to family program, which of course I'm quite fond of. And it's now, it used to be 12 weeks, now it's 8 weeks. They've shortened it, I think, after COVID. We're not really able to commit to things like we used to, and we want everything quick and over fast. But In that particular, those particular weeks, we discuss the various types of mental illness. We talk about how to communicate with a loved one who has mental illness. And just gain so much understanding about what mental illness is and how we as a family member can understand them and help them. They also have a group called NAMI Basics. And NAMI Basics is another 6-week educational program for parents and caregivers of children and teens who are experiencing symptoms of mental illness. And it's taught by trained parents who are living with a child or a teenager who has, because some children are diagnosed very early with mental illness. And then we have a family support group, and that's what we do on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And sometimes we have a lot of people, sometimes we have 4 or 5. It depends on the group, and it's a very fluid group. Sometimes when a family is in crisis, they'll come for a few times to get over the crisis. I think the thing that for me is the most encouraging is that sometimes the families come into those groups just like I was, a wreck, physically and mentally and emotionally a wreck, to be honest, trying to cope with what we did. But and through the group's help and through the friendship that is offered there, they become very strong and they understand the situation that their loved one's in. So I think that's about it. I would like to close with a prayer. I think it was handed out to you. Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May today there be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you're meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use the gifts that you have received and pass on the love that you have been given you. May you be confident knowing you are a daughter of God. Let this presence settle in your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing and dance and praise and love. It is there for each and every one of us. Amen. So thank you very much for letting me come and explain about NAMI. I forgot to mention these books. There's two books. This one is called I'm Not Sick, I Don't Need Help. And many of our families, their loved ones, do not want to admit that they have a mental illness, or like I talked about, they don't know that they have. But this book helps them so much. This is kind of like the Bible for our group, and they it's just a really, really good book. And Dr. Xavier Amador is the one who wrote the book. And I was fortunate enough to go to a talk that he gave, and he had a brother who had a mental illness, and he wrote the book because of his brother. Well, he told us that day that now both of his children have mental illness now. And so he works tirelessly to help them. And all families. He was amazing. And he also wrote a book, another book, which I'm sorry I don't have, but he wrote another book about mental illness. But his name, that wasn't so good. Sorry. The other book is a book that NAMI printed. It says, You Are Not Alone. And Ken Duckworth they're available, both of these are available on Amazon, and they're very helpful to families because so many families feel that they're alone and that there's nobody who understands their plight in life. So thank you again for, yes.
Does Jana live at home with you, or is she on her own?
No, she's married now. She's married now. She got married at the age of 50. First time. And she, oh my goodness, I'm dropping everything. She's doing very well. But she's doing well because she chooses to do well. You know, we are very blessed that she has accepted everything that has happened to her in her lifetime. And, you know, we're very proud of her. So we're kind of a tandem group, you know. I do NAMI, and she's out there on the streets every day, and it's very hard work. And she comes in with big circles under her eyes, and some days she can't, you know, she doesn't want to stop by because she's too tired to do that. So yes. That's why it takes about 10 years, really, and I'm no clinician, so, you know, I'm obviously not one to really speak on that too much, but because their behaviors are so erratic and they go through episodes of they're fine and they're just fine, and then all of a sudden they'll be really depressed, something will trigger depression in them, and then it's, you don't know what they're going to do. So for her, she was depressed. She was diagnosed with clinical depression first, but then after a few years, then they changed the diagnosis, which happens a lot in our group, in our support group. So, you know, it's just but the hormones, I think, are a real deal. You know, especially for women. You know, I mean, we've all experienced bouts of depression when we're hormonal. So it's a reality that, you know, then that's why it's so hard and so confusing for families, I think, you know. Yes. And next level, they say.
Next level. And so I immediately called my mom, and I said, please call it Mary and make sure that she calendars and supports, because I believe she's having a manic episode. Mm-hmm. I studied a little bit of psychology, which is dangerous to recognize for what it is.
Yes, sure. Yeah, it's called denial.
And so I'm just saying that it can present in such a wide range of ways. Mm-hmm. And when it presents as manic, and then it doesn't go into depression for 8 months after that, and when the medication takes months and many times to find out what works for that individual, it can be, I watched this, and God bless him, my Tom and Easter, and that man keeps me so well for himself.
Ladies in our group, they walk together. They became best friends in our group, and their sons have very different. They have the same diagnosis, but they act very differently. And they belong to a book club. So there's a variety of things that are very important to do, and that one of those is to take care of yourself. I really meant to touch on that, but so any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay. I'll get all this stuff.
Thank you, and there's
I'll leave this stuff
additional
right
information
now.
Over just on the table by the
yeah,
door if you want to pick that up. Also, if you filled out the time and talent sheet, why don't you set it on the little table up here before you leave? We really appreciate that. Thank you.
And I just wanted to share that Joanne gave me a lot of information. I made PDFs of a lot of the other forms.
I have a schedule of